Have you ever been afraid? You ever been afraid? Or maybe you should ask, when was the last time that you were afraid? Have you ever been afraid as a Christian? What sorts of things are there that cause Christians to be fearful? What sorts of things would you say that there are as children of God that cause us to be afraid? You know, as you start to think about that, obviously you think, well, as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. But the reality is that I think if we were to sit down and to start make a list of what is it that Christians are afraid of, a variety of things might be put on that list. You know, sometimes we might say that some of us might be afraid of being ashamed at certain points of people asking us questions that maybe we don't know the answer to, or maybe ashamed of standing up for truth when nobody else will stand up for it. What is it that causes us to be afraid? Perhaps we might think that it's being called out by someone, that maybe they want to make an example out of us, and we're afraid of somebody doing that and receiving some kind of unwanted attention drawn to ourselves as a Christian. Sometimes it's spiritual problems that we're having in our life that cause us to be fearful. Sometimes it's failure. You think about that one talent man, and he was afraid of failing. And sometimes as Christians, we might be afraid of just failing as a Christian. We think of the responsibilities that have been placed upon us as Christians, and perhaps we're afraid that we might fail in that regard. Sometimes we might be afraid that we feel like we don't have any control over what's happening. Maybe we're afraid of the uncertainty of things that are happening around us. Are you uncertain of the direction of things that are going on in our country? Or maybe you're certain of the direction of where things are going in our country. Sometimes we're afraid as Christians, and even afraid of things like death. What do we do as Christians when we're afraid? What do we do as Christians to deal with fear that comes into our lives? Do we just listen to FDR and think that the only thing to fear is fear itself? Well, if the only thing to fear is fear itself, I'm certainly fearful of a lot of things that fear brings into my life, aren't you? I mean, what is it that we're supposed to fear? What do we do as Christians when we feel afraid? Tonight I want us to briefly consider 8 keys that the Bible gives to us that we can have to conquer, not just deal with, not just subside, but for us as Christians to truly overcome and conquer fear in our lives. And you could come up with another 8. This is by no means exhaustive. This list was 7 until about 30 minutes before I went into a meeting with the elders. And I thought, well, there's another one. It might as well be 8 now. And so this list could go on and on as to what are some keys that we have as Christians to dealing with fear. And not just dealing with it, but conquering it and overcoming it. And as you think about that, let me suggest to you that the first key that God gives to us in conquering fear is just the key of observation. Open our eyes and recognize, I want to see how readable that is, that's not bad. Open our eyes and observe, examine what is it that fear will do if we will allow fear to have free roam in our life. What will fear do to us? We need to be observant. We need to recognize in our lives that if we allow fear into our lives, we will become some wretched people. We'll just become miserable. Do you know anybody that just lives in fear of everything? They're just some of the saddest people, the most miserable people in all the world. Go back and think about King Saul in the Old Testament. Think about the first king of Israel. Think about the promise that he brought. Think about how Israel looked to him as the man who was going to lead them to great victory. Look at what he did in those early days of his life as a king, and how hopeful they were with him as their king. But as you follow the life of King Saul, and you pick up with him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when he went off to battle against the Amalekites, and he had very explicit instructions from God to destroy and wipe out everything, and he brought back the best of the sheep, the best of the livestock. He brought back the king. The very things that he was to destroy, he brought them back with him. And one of the excuses, and you remember that Saul was full of excuses, and anytime we fail to obey God, we might be full of excuses. One of the excuses that Saul offered to Samuel upon why he had brought back these things and didn't fulfill the Lord's request, in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24, he said, "I was afraid of the people." And when you start in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you read about Saul being afraid of the people, all of a sudden, Saul's life takes a shift. His disobedience to God led him to make an excuse that he was afraid of the people. You keep reading on, God selects David to be the next king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, at least three times in that chapter, the Bible says that Saul was afraid of David. Afraid of David and the popularity and the power that he was gaining in the kingdom. Saul got so, his life became so wretched, so miserable, that near the end of his life in 1 Samuel chapter 28, he was going to battle against the Philistines. On one side of that valley was the Israelite army. On the other side of that valley was the army of the Philistines. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 5 that Saul was afraid. He was afraid because he believed that the Philistines were going to wipe him out. But his fear throughout his life and his disobedience to God had disconnected him from God, and he knew he couldn't go to God. He knew he couldn't turn to the prophet Samuel, who was already dead. He couldn't turn to God for guidance. And so that's the story in your Bible where Saul went to a soothsayer. He went to a sorcerer. He went to that medium. Some people call her the witch of Endor. The Bible doesn't call her a witch. But he went to that medium to get her to call up Samuel from the dead so that he could get a word from the Lord. He was so fearful he would even go to that extent. If we allow fear to overtake our lives, we will become some of the most miserable and wretched people. That's one of the keys. That's one of the keys to conquering fear, is thinking, what will fear do to me if I allow it to have a foothold in my life? Another thing that fear will do to us is it will cause us to become as dead men. What does that mean? Remember the story of Jesus' resurrection in Matthew chapter 28? You remember what happened to the soldiers who were guarding his tomb in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 4? They became so fearful at the resurrection of Jesus that the Bible says they became not dead, but they became as dead men. They could not move when they saw the resurrected Lord come from that tomb. You know, sometimes that can happen to us. If we allow fear into our lives, we can get to the point where we become as dead men and we don't move. Have you ever known someone who is not a Christian? Someone who had learned the gospel? Someone who knew what they needed to do in order to be saved from their sins? They knew God's plan of salvation. They knew that they were lost. They knew exactly what they needed to do in order to be saved. But they thought, and they were fearful of, what will my family think? What will my friends say if I do that? What will these people do if I become a Christian? And out of fear of what other people might think or say or do, this person does nothing and does not obey the command of God. They essentially stand still and become as dead men because they will not move forward out of fear. Have you ever known any Christians like that? Christians who know full well the Great Commission that God's given to us. Know full well that we are to be soul winners, going out and teaching the gospel to the lost. And yet out of fear that we might go to somebody and, you know, it's not the right time. We go at the wrong time. Or fear that we go to somebody and we say the wrong thing. Or fear that we go to someone and they ask us a question and we don't know the answer. And so out of fear of what might happen, we do nothing. We stand still. And essentially, we become as dead men, not moving, because we have allowed fear to overtake our lives. One of the keys to overcoming and conquering fear is realizing, what will that fear do to us if we allow it into our lives? That fear, similar to the second point, that fear will render us useless in our service to God. It will render us absolutely useless. You remember in Judges chapter 7? One of the most exciting stories in the Old Testament is that story of Gideon. You remember Gideon in Judges chapter 7? When Gideon had an army of 32,000 people. Wouldn't you like to have an army of 32,000 people? That'd be pretty good. Well, some of these people didn't think it was pretty good, because they were going up against the Midianites, who had over 130,000 in their army. 32,000 is looking pretty good until, well, the enemy's got, you know, more than three or four times what you do. Remember what happened? In Judges chapter 7 and verse 2, Gideon gathers his army, and God says, Gideon, I know they've got 135,000. I know you've got 32,000. You've got too many. Excuse me? You've got too many. How do we have too many, Lord? Just imagine this conversation happening. It's not stated there, but you have to think, how was this conversation? How do we have too many, Lord? And God said to Gideon in Judges chapter 7 and verse 2, you have too many. I do not want Israel to think that they were able to win this battle on their own, of their own merit. You have too many. Judges chapter 7 verses 2 and 3, tell those who are afraid and fearful to go home. Gideon started with 32,000. Do you remember how many were afraid? You remember how many were fearful and went home? 22,000 packed up their bags and went home, leaving Gideon with 10,000. And you know that God said, okay, Gideon, that's great, too many, and reduce it even further. But notice what happened. Those 22,000 were fearful of the enemy, and they became absolutely useless to God. Can the same thing happen to us? If we allow fear to invade our lives and overtake our hearts, we will essentially become useless in our service to God. We will not be useful and be active in the work of the Lord at all. And is there not a battle that we are engaged in as Christians? Are we not fighting against Satan? Are we not fighting against sin? Are we not fighting against unrighteousness in our world? God doesn't need people who are just going to be afraid and stand still. He needs those who will pick up the banner of truth and march on. We can't allow fear to keep us from doing that. You know, fear is one of those things that if we allow it to invade our lives, it will bring about the very thing that we fear. You ever heard that? That if you allow fear into your life, that fear, if you're afraid of something, then the very thing that you are afraid of will happen. You think about the baseball player. Think about the batter who steps up to the plate. He's afraid he's going to strike out. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to strike out. You step up to the plate and you're afraid you're going to strike out, you're not going to make contact at all. You think about that football. You think about that wide receiver who's out to catch a pass. But he's afraid that when that corner's coming, he's going to smack into him, he's going to drop the ball. Guess what's going to happen? That's exactly what happened. Because sometimes what we're afraid of becomes a reality because we allow it to soak into our minds. Amazingly, Job said that. One of the very first things that we read from Job's lips as he is being punished and what being tempted by the devil and enduring so many of these things, the closing verses of Job chapter 3, Job said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." If we allow fear to control our lives, then the very thing that we fear will become the reality. If we want to conquer fear, we've got to realize what can fear do to us and not allow fear to have that foothold. The last thing we can see about what fear will do to us if we allow it to have control is it will contagiously spread to others, and it can paralyze an entire group. You remember what happened to the Israelites when they came to the borders of the Promised Land the first time? Remember when they sent the 12 spies into the Promised Land? And they spent 40 days in that Promised Land, and they came back with their report. And the report that they brought back was at first a unified report of the great land that's flowing with milk and honey. But then those 10 spies broke out into their own chorus of defeat. They broke out into their own report of what that land was like and how there were giants in the land and how there was no way that they could overtake the land at all. And the Bible says as Moses was later reporting this to the second generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, as Moses was recalling these events to the second generation, because that first generation was punished, sent off into the wilderness to wander for 40 years and died off. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 28, that the people said, all of the people, when they heard the 10 spies report, they said, "Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts." Because they said, the people there are greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and fortified up to heaven. We just cannot do it. And notice, our hearts were discouraged, disheartened. Our hearts melted. Why? Because we were paralyzed. We were paralyzed by the fact that these 10 spies allowed fear rather than faith to dominate their evaluation of the promised land. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 20, as Moses is giving new instructions to this second generation, as he's recounting the law to them and reminding them of what God said, one of the things that he said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8 is, here's what the officer shall speak during a time of war. During a time of war, the officer shall speak further to the people and say, "What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go home and return to his house. If there's anybody among you who's afraid, then go home." Why? "Lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart." Can that happen today? Can someone be so fearful in the church today? Can some leader, can some elder, can some deacon, can some person in the church become so fearful of the unknown, so fearful of the future, so fearful of what may be coming down the road that we just say, "Let's not do anything. Let's just stop all that we're doing. Let's stop all the progress that we're making. We don't want to go any further. We're afraid of what might happen, and so let's halt where we are." You know, sometimes fear can grip us and stop our forward progress as individuals, and in this case, even as a nation, and in our case, even as a congregation. First key, and this is the longest one, the rest of them are short. Don't laugh. I wouldn't tell you a lie. Serious. In order for us to conquer fear, we've got to be observant. What will fear do to us if we allow it into our lives? The second key is knowledge. Got to have knowledge. And we've got to have knowledge to God's Word. What does God's Word say about fear? It's a whole other lesson for us to talk about the fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about that we must fear God and keep His commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. That's a whole other lesson to talk about the fear and the respect and the awe that we are to have for God. That's not this lesson. This lesson about fear is the fear that we have as human beings that God has prohibited us to have in our hearts. Somewhere around 170 to 180 times in the Bible, God says, "Do not fear, do not be afraid." Are these warnings, are these prohibitions that we can just ignore? Go to that passage that was read in Isaiah chapter 41. This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible, especially because of chapter 41 and verse 10, one of my grandfather's favorite verses in chapter 41 and verse 10. But I want you to see, we can look at some of these other passages that are up here. God prohibited Abraham from being, he told Abraham not to fear in Genesis chapter 15. He told Israel not to fear in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He told Joshua not to fear in Joshua chapter 1. He told so many individuals, "Do not fear." Jesus told the disciples, "Don't fear." God told when Paul was in Corinth in Acts chapter 18 and all of the tumult was happening, the Lord spoke to Paul right then in Acts 18. "Do not fear" is what he told him. But look in Isaiah chapter 41. Look in verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you." Look down in verse 13. "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Look in verse 14. "Fear not, Three times within what? Three or four verses there. God tells him, fear not. Look over in chapter 43. Same book. Isaiah chapter 43. Look in verse 1. But now says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Our teens might recognize this passage. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. One of the things I love about a lot of the songs that our teens sing is they come right out of Scripture. And one of their favorite songs is this one, right out of Isaiah chapter 43. Look in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. Look in chapter 44. Thus, verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant. Look down at verse 8. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared? On and on we could go. But here, just in a matter of three chapters, you've got about 10 times where God tells His people, don't fear. And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks to His people and speaks to us today and says, don't fear. If I'm going to conquer my fear, I need to realize that when I fear, I have disobeyed God. He's told me not to fear. He's told me I don't have any reason to fear. And He's given us a number of those reasons that we'll look at here a little bit more in a minute. But if I'm going to overcome this, I've got to realize that when I am fearful, God says I am doing something that He does not want me to do. A third key to overcoming and conquering fear is your Father. What does that mean? Who is your Father? One of the most encouraging, the most comforting, the most exciting concepts, especially in the New Testament, is the fatherhood of God. He's not just your God. He's not just your master. He's not just your creator. He is your Father. And look in the Sermon on the Mount real quick. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. Look in the Sermon on the Mount, because this is something that when Jesus came, that Jesus came and emphasized. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will not find the emphasis like you do in the New Testament. I think you find one time in the Old Testament the expression, your Father, talking about God. But when you get to the New Testament, it just blows up. And it starts right here in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, first recorded sermon that we have from Jesus. Look at how He speaks of God and the relationship that His hearers, His people, God's people, can have with Him. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, your master, your creator. Glorify who? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Look in verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Look at verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We just run right through these statements. We just run, He's our Father, He's our Father. Jesus is trying to get them to understand something. There is a relationship that you have with the God of heaven that's not just a He and a me and there's a separation. He's my Father. Look in chapter 6. Look down in verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to God, pray to the Lord, pray to the Master of the universe, pray to your Father. You go into your room and you talk to your Father. Look in verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for who knows what you have need of before you even ask? Does the omnipotent, the omniscient, the all-knowing, the everything, God of the universe? Yes, yes, yes. Who knows what you have need of before you ask? Your Father. Because He's your Father. Look in chapter 7. Look in chapter 7 and verse 11. If you as earthly fathers, that's the you there. If you as earthly lowercase fathers, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? That's the relationship that we have. If we are going to overcome fear in our lives, we need to embrace God as our Father. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called," what? "The children of God." Thank God that we can have that kind of a relationship. Did you notice? Did you notice over in Isaiah 41 and verse 13? There was this really cool expression. Remember being a kid? Josiah, you remember being a kid once? Remember being a kid? Did you ever get really afraid? Out on a walk in the woods? Pitch black out? You ever get really afraid? You ever out somewhere with your dad and all of a sudden something happens and you just get really afraid? You remember as a little kid that you would take your little hand and you just reach it up into your father's hand and hold your father's hand. Do you remember? You remember what that did for you? All of a sudden, it's okay. All of a sudden, with my little hand inside my father's big hand, I don't need to be afraid of anything. Over in Isaiah 41 and verse 13, did you notice where God said, "I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand"? Embrace God as your Father, and you'll go a long way to conquering fear. And it's not just who your Father is, who's your Lord. If you want to overcome fear and conquer fear in your life, you need to enthrone Christ as the Lord of your heart. If I were to begin 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, you could probably finish it. But sanctify the Lord, well, that's the New American Standard. Sanctify the Lord as, I keep wanting to quote the New American Standard, because, well, sanctify the Lord as the Christ as the Lord of your hearts is what the New American Standard says. And always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But the New American Standard, notice how it starts. Sanctify Christ. Set apart Christ as the Lord of your hearts. We know that verse. Do you know the context of that verse? We know that verse that tells us to always be ready to give an answer. We know that verse says to set the Lord apart as the Lord of our heart and the Lord of our life. Do you know that the context of 1 Peter chapter 3 is about being fearful? Is about being afraid of men and what they would do to you. And one of the instructions in 1 Peter chapter 3 about how to overcome being afraid of what man will do to you is, you want to get over fear? Set Christ apart as the Lord of your life. When you enthrone Him as your King, when you enthrone Him as your Lord, that's a key to conquering and overcoming fear. Who's the Lord of your life? If Christ is the Lord of your life, what do you have to fear? If Christ is the Lord of your life, is there anything about life that you need to fear? If Christ is the Lord of your life, is there anything about death that you need to fear? If Christ is the Lord of your heart, is there anything about life after death that you need to fear? If Christ is your Lord, and if God is your Father, there's nothing that we have to fear. A fifth key that we have to conquering fear is striving in every way to be sinless in our lives. Do you know, and you could probably guess based upon the verses that are on the screen, do you know where the first time we read about somebody being afraid in the Bible is? If you were to think in the whole Bible, where's the first time we read about somebody being afraid? Well, it was the Garden of Eden. It was Adam and Eve. Why were Adam and Eve the first people ever to be afraid? They had never been afraid before Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. But you get down about verses 8 and 9 and all of a sudden they're afraid. Why were Adam and Eve afraid? Because they had sinned against God. Sin is the root cause of every problem and trouble and trial that there is in this life. And sin was the very first cause of fear in the recorded history of man on this earth. And if we live in sin, buddy, we've got a whole lot of reasons to be fearful. But if I want to conquer and overcome sin, then what I need to do is eradicate sin from my life. Get it out of my life. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 about the fact that we are going to sin as Christians. But then he got to chapter 2 and verse 1 and he says, but I don't want you to think this is a license to sin. 1 John 2 and verse 1, he says, I've written these things that you may not sin. God wants us in every way to strive to rid ourselves of sin because He knows of the problems that come with it. He knows of the troubles that our life will be full of if we allow sin into our hearts and into our lives. It will lead to fear. It will lead to every kind of problem in this life. And so He tells us to get rid of sin. If you're having a problem overcoming fear and conquering fear in your life, what sin is there that you're having a problem overcoming? You may pinpoint the root cause of your fear. What temptation, what sin is there that has got a hold of you? Sit down and read the book of 1 John. Read how much it talks about sin and what it says we can do to overcome that. A sixth key to overcoming and conquering fear, obviously, is our faith. Faith is the very opposite, is the very antithesis of fear. When you think about things that have nothing to do with each other, faith and fear are two things that cannot exist in the same heart. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus was out in the boat with His disciples? And do you remember, was Jesus fearful when that storm came up? There was a great tempest that arose in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. Great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But Jesus, the end of verse 24 says, He wasn't afraid. How do we know? Because He was asleep. Jesus was at peace in the midst of that storm. Then His disciples came to Him and awoke Him saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? If you go over in, I believe it's over in Luke's account, where Luke records Jesus as saying, why are you fearful? Why do you have no faith? The very fact that they had expressed fear to Jesus that He was not doing anything was an expression of the fact that they did not have faith in Jesus. If we want to overcome fear in our lives, if we want to conquer fear in our lives, we need to build our faith in God. There's a great passage over in Psalm 56 and verse 11, a great passage that talks about trusting in God in its entirety. And you get down to, verse 3, when I am afraid, what a great passage in Psalm 56 and verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When I put my trust in God, I have no reason to be afraid. If we're having problems conquering fear in our life, we need to work on building our faith. We need to get back to the fundamentals of Bible study. And we need to understand that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. We need to study. Build our faith. And the more our faith increases, it'll force fear out of our hearts. A seventh key that God gives us in our Bibles to understand how we can conquer fear is love. You go over to 1 John chapter 4 and another great passage from this book that talks to us about the Christian life that we are to live in. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, there is no fear in love, but what does perfect love do? Perfect love casts out fear. The more love that I have for God, the less fear I'll have in my heart. The more love I have for my fellow man, the less fear I'll have in my heart. The more love I have for my brethren, the less fear I'll have in my heart. The more love I have for the lost world, the less fear I'll have in my heart. Do you have fear about going to somebody who's lost and trying to study the Bible with them? Think about how much you love them. How much do you love the lost soul that you want to obey the gospel? And as you focus on how much you love them, it will help you to overcome whatever fear you have of teaching them. Is there a wayward brother or sister in Christ that you are so concerned about? Somebody who's wandered away and you're afraid. You're afraid for them. You're afraid if they don't turn back to the Lord before it's too late that they're going to jeopardize their reward. Are you afraid of going to them? Are you afraid that you might say the wrong thing? If you will focus in on how much you love them, if you will focus in on how much you love their soul, how much they mean to you, it'll help you to overcome whatever fear that you have, and your perfect love for that person will cast out whatever fear you have so that you can go and you can talk to them and you can make a difference. If we're going to conquer fear in our lives, one of those keys is love. And the final key I want us to look at tonight, if we're going to conquer fear in our life, it's got to be through prayer. We've got to energize ourselves through a constant, faith-filled fervency of prayer. I hope you will write down the passages that are listed on the screen. I know many of you have been taking notes and writing down all of the passages. We don't have time tonight. I wish that we did. We don't have time tonight to go over to those passages in the book of Psalms. There are some incredible prayers in the book of Psalms. And if you will go over especially the Psalms in Psalm 3 and Psalm 55 and read those verses tonight, and if you will make those and adopt those words and adopt those thoughts and adopt those prayer patterns into your own life, God help us. We'll be able to overcome fear. With God as our helper, with God as the one who stands beside us, with the God as the one who leads the way, we can overcome and conquer our fears. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. God said to His people 750 years before Christ, nearly 2,700 plus years now from us, but He says it to us. Brethren, God says to us. Brother and sister in Christ, God says to you, fear not. For I, your Father, am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise to you. That's God's promise to us. If we will take the keys that He has given to us to unlock the ability that He has given to us to conquer whatever fears there may be in our lives. Thanks be to God that He has provided us with such wonderful lessons in His Word, both through instruction and example, that we can learn how we can faithfully follow Him. And through those same instructions and examples in the New Testament, He tells us how we can be saved from our sins. Are you a Christian tonight? Have you ever obeyed the gospel of Christ to have your sins washed away? Let me ask that same question, but with a different word. Are you a child of God tonight? Can you say that the God of heaven is your Father? You can only say that if, as a sinner, you have believed that Jesus is the Son of God, turned away from sin in your life, said, I don't want to serve sin anymore. I want to serve the Lord. I want to give my life to Him. Except you repent, the Bible, Jesus says, you'll all likewise perish. You confess the faith, it's in your heart, acknowledge it openly. The Bible says that once you are baptized into Christ, just like Cameron was this morning, that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away every sin that you've ever committed. You have no reason to fear ever again. God has removed every reason of fear in your life. He's taken away the sin that has separated you from God, added you to His church, written your name into the book of life. And then He calls upon us to serve Him faithfully for the rest of our days. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been baptized for the remission of your sins as a child of God? Is there any reason that you would need the church to pray for you and encourage you tonight to get back on the right path? If this church can help you in any way tonight, would you come right now as together we stand and sing?